Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
And just like every good story began, how do you say it? Once upon a time. All right, well, good. Praise the Lord, we're through that, all right? No, we're looking at the parables. We're in the book of Matthew, so you can open up to Matthew 13, because today I believe that we are going to talk about one of the most important kingdom principles that there is. And I love this because it should encourage you. Yeah. My prayer today is that you walk out of here encouraged. And here's what I want to challenge you with. Every one of us is sowing and reaping. Okay? Some of you are reaping what you sowed in the last season, and it's not very fun. So here's what I want to challenge you with. Today we're going to look at this idea of what kind of seed are we sowing. Here's a kingdom principle. What you sow, you will reap, whether that's good or bad. So my question is, what kind of seed are you planting? And I want to talk to us a little bit about that today because I think it's so important. Jesus tells us these stories in parables. And the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the parables in Matthew chapter 13. And remember, parables were stories that Jesus would use that people understand to get the message across. Who doesn't like a good story? But here's the thing. These stories that Jesus would tell would cut right to the quick. And just like today, how many of you know truth sometimes isn't always easy? But we need to hear it. I would rather have somebody that tells me the truth where I find freedom in my life than have somebody that just wants to tell me what my ears want, tickle my ears and what I want to hear, but I miss out and then I pay the consequences. So I want to tell you, in the Christian life, in life in general, what you sow, you reap. So what you're planting in this season, expect to reap in the next. Okay? And that goes with everything in life. That's your finances. That's how you look at life. What you're sowing right now, the seed you're putting in the ground. So in the first parable in chapter 13, Pastor Paula talked a couple weeks ago. We looked at a farmer who would spread the seed. Jesus was the seed. But here's where our part was. Jesus talked about four types of ground that the seed would fall upon. And I'm just doing a little bit of a review because I think it's important to understand and get in our minds. How many of you know what's important is repeated throughout Scripture? Right? So this idea of sowing and reaping. So Jesus started out saying that the farmer would come and he would spread the seed on a footpath where birds would quickly come and eat the seed. So something you learn from this is the seed comes from God. Right? And I think we have two choices what kind of seed we're going to be spreading. Okay? The seed from God. God is the one that supplies the seed. Where it lands is our responsibility. And I look at this footpath like life, where we're so busy, we're on the busy path of life that we forget to pick up the seed that Jesus is dropping in our hearts. And the birds come in and they steal it away. You've got to have time with him. You have to take time with Jesus to let this seed get down in your heart. Also, then Jesus would go on to the second type of soil that would have a little bit of topsoil, but it was rocky right underneath. And what would happen is the roots could not grow down deep. And the minute the sun came out, it withered and the plant went away. It died. Some of us are that way. We'll only let Jesus get down so far and go so deep. And what happens is we have shallow roots. And the moment that anything comes that throws you off the path, you're out. And what Jesus is calling from all of us is let the rototiller of the Spirit come in and rototill our ground up. The hardness, the brokenness. That's why if you have an ounce of brokenness in your life, and you know it because it affects everything you think of, everything you work through. You need to be at Soul Care next weekend to find freedom. How many of you found freedom at Soul Care? Raise your hand. Look at that. Well, I'm glad. So the back half all needs to be here next week. I'm just saying. All right. The next, when Jesus was putting the seed out in chapter 13, he'd come up and some of the seed would fall among thorns, which grew up, and the thorns would choke the plants. Then the farmer went on to talk about spreading the seed on fertile soil. And my prayer for you is that you have fertile soil. When Jesus speaks, it gets down deep. Today, when Jesus speaks, let it get down deep. Let it start to grow in you. Because here's what would happen. When the farmer would spread the seed on the fertile soil, the Bible tells us in Matthew 13:8, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as has been planted. The farmer represents Jesus. The type of ground represents the heart of people. If your heart is bitter and cold, it's time to let Jesus in to rototill that up and to change that soil. You might say, Pastor, you don't understand. I've been hurt so much. Guess what? Now's the time to get healing from that hurt and not be a victim anymore. Right? It's that time to forgive. It's that time to let God change your heart. Then last Sunday, we talked about the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Where in a garden, in a field, weeds and wheat could grow at the same time. And what we learn in our lives is that good things can be growing right along the side of the bad things, the weeds that grow. And if you allow the weeds to grow, which come from the enemy, all of a sudden it starts to suck the life out of the good stuff. And we hear this idea of not letting those weeds grow. And the farmer would come along and he refused to move the weeds immediately, fearing harm to the wheat. And still he waits to the harvest when the wheat will be gathered and the weeds burned. What do we learn by that? Is stay on guard to not let the enemy plant seeds in your life that brings about destruction. Stay on guard. Say, what kind of seeds am I watering? Some of us were watering that unforgiveness. Some of us were watering that bitterness. We hold on to it like it's a prize. And what's happening is all of those weeds are choking out the life. All of those weeds are choking out your life. If you missed the last couple of weeks, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. What do both of these parables have in common? It's the seed. Jesus plants the seed. And I think we have two seed brokers in our life. We have the enemy and we have God. So what kind of seed are you going to plant? Here's what we're responsible for. We are responsible for the kind of seeds that we plant into our lives and in the lives of others. We're not responsible for them to grow. We're not responsible. We're responsible for them, for us to put as much like fertilizer and water and all those things. Like I said, I'm not a gardener, right? But all of the things, make sure that it has enough light, make sure, you know, our job is to help that to grow, but growth is not your final job. Wow. God, it's God's. And here's what I love about the seeds that Jesus gives us. If you plant seeds in the ground, you're going to see a harvest. This parable that we're reading today, it's very short, but it has one of the most important kingdom truths that there is. It should encourage every believer. In both parables, we see it, the seed and what we plant. Jesus is the giver of that seed. You cannot have a crop without seeds. See, here's what we do in life. We forget that everything's about what kind of seed we're planting. And then we don't plant anything. And I think when you leave a garden or a field without anything, all of a sudden the weeds start to grow up. You have a job to do, and that is to plant that seed that Jesus gives you. Everywhere you go, everything that you do, that small seed, remember, and the Bible, we're going to talk about a mustard seed, which is about a tiny little speck on my finger. Matthew 3, 31 through 33 tells us, here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. How you can look at this in your life is, how does a plant become a tree? It doesn't. So what does that scripture mean? What is Jesus saying? Jesus can take what you give him and turn it into something that is incredible. And it all starts with a little seed. All it starts with is that little seed. And why do birds, like, what does it mean when birds come and make nests in its branches? What I see is that your life begins to refresh others. What your life begins a safety point for these birds. Your life, when you look at what God wants to do. We only have a couple of key verses today, but this is power packed, and it's important to remember this principle of the kingdom. And here's the principle that it reveals to us. Jesus reveals a powerful principle about God's kingdom, and here it is. Small beginnings can lead to great transformation. It doesn't matter. You might look and say, I have the smallest seed to give. That mustard seed is tiny. But if you'll plant it in the ground, Jesus takes that and turns it into a 20 and 30 foot tall tree. You become something that is anchored. You become something that makes an impact. Small beginnings can grow into something that makes a huge impact. Have you ever felt that what you're doing for God might be too small to make a difference? Oh, this is all I have. Stop saying this is all I have to offer, because if you plant that seed into the ground, God can take it and make it a huge tree. Stop looking at what you don't have. Start looking at what God wants to do in your life. Maybe you've asked yourself, can my faith, my prayers, my serving really change anything? Jesus reassures us in this passage that God's kingdom often starts small, but it's incredible and it has unstoppable growth. The mustard seed is a great example of this. Here's another thing you learn about God. Is when you partner with him, you plant that seed into the ground, God works on multiplication. He doesn't work on subtraction. He doesn't work on division. He doesn't work on addition. He works on multiplication. When you think about multiplication, and I'm not good at math, so I'm not even going to try to attempt this stuff, all right? But multiplying literally means that you go from one times one is one. I can't even do it, all right? I got that part right. But you know, multiplication, that's what we all want in our lives. We want God to multiply. We want God to take what we give him and multiply, and that's what he does. In the kingdom, he multiplies what you give him. Look at the little boy that had 2 fishes and 5 loaves and was expected to feed 5,000 people. And what happened is multiplication kicked in, and all of a sudden, they had more than enough to do what was needed. All Jesus needed was that seed from that little boy to go, here's my two fishes and 5 loaves. God takes the rest. Over 5,000 people. Or how about the Holy Spirit when he came to the upper room with 120 people waiting? They were waiting on God to empower they were waiting on the Holy Spirit to empower them to do what Jesus had called them to do. Their seed was to sit in that room and pray and wait. The power of the Holy Spirit came, and literally thousands were added to the church every day. That is multiplication. God doesn't do 1 plus 1. God does 1 times 1 in multiplication and multiplies it in incredible ways. When the Holy Spirit came, the church was born. And the Bible tells us that thousands were saved. And we are sitting here today because of those 120 people in that upper room. Do you know that? We're sitting here today. The gospel has spread like wildfire around the world. It's because God works on multiplication. So stop looking at what you have and start looking at the God who multiplies. Stop going, I have nothing to offer God. All he's looking for is your 2 fish and 5 loaves. If you'll give him what he's asking you to do, and every time you have the opportunity to spread a seed, do it. I want to share with you 4 points this morning that you need to keep in mind to understand how small things have an incredible impact on the kingdom of God. Point number one, you have to understand kingdom multiplication. And here's a scripture I want to take you to, Luke 6:38. This is talking about our giving, but it's really talking about everything in life. If you're looking for a financial miracle, the kingdom principle is you have to step out and give. You have to plant a seed. Some of you, you're eating that seed by not giving, and then you wonder why your finances are not turning around. That is a kingdom principle. You can fight it. You can be mad about it. You can scream at God about it. But it's not going to change the kingdom principle. That if you are looking for God to do something, you have to plant the seed in the ground. Where does that seed come from? It comes from God. You might go, how does it come? He gives you a job. He gives you brains. He gives you the gumption to get up in the morning to go do that job. Some of you hate your job, but it's actually your missions field. Stop planting the seeds that are of doubt and worry and fear in that job and start planting seeds of faith. Start planting seeds that God has called you to go in and love those people. Stop fighting it. But here's what happens, and this is why it's so important that we give. Luke 6:38, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. That goes in your finances. That goes in your daily walk. That goes with everything that you do. If you will put a seed in the ground and you'll serve God with that seed, you let him multiply it. And he returns it. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your life. Some of you, just look at your garbage cans at home, because that's what you do. You press them down, you put more in there, right? That's our house. The garbage is so heavy by the time you have to take it out. But here's the good news. This is all good stuff. That God pushes it down and he presses it down. He makes room for more. He shakes it together, running over and poured into your lap. But it all starts with a seed. It all starts with you being obedient. It all starts with you taking the little and saying, God, whatever little I have. And here's the truth. There's a lot of Christians today who don't give a thing. They don't plant any seeds. They just come, they sit, they receive a good message, and they go back to real life Monday through Friday and wonder why what they're reaping is not what they think they're sowing. You got to be in the game. This is a great scripture. It holds true. Whenever you step out and do what God asks us to do, he's going to multiply. It's amazing to think of all of heaven is behind you when you step out. Like, listen for just a minute. Some of you, you think you're the center of your universe. We're not the center of anything. We're a speck. You have all of heaven behind you when you step out and you start planting the seeds that Jesus tells you to. And here's the question is, Jesus, give me some seeds. I want to plant them. I want to plant. You give me the seed, Jesus. You give me the seed and then I'll plant. And then be faithful to plant because then he multiplies it. This picture gives us a great example of how God takes little and we give him and he multiplies it. The enemy is keeping some of you stuck because he's convinced you that you have nothing to give. You have nothing to put into this discussion. You have no seed. But I'm going to tell you, the minute you start saying, Jesus, give me a seed, and you start planting it, you're going to see a harvest. You're going to see God show up. And listen, the thing is, when you plant that seed in the ground, it's going to take a little bit of time for those roots to go down. It's going to take a little bit of time for you to start to see the leaves pop up. But when you do, when you see it, God's going to start multiplying it. Another thing to understand is the mustard seed is small but mighty. Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed that was known to be one of the tiniest seeds in Israel. Listen, here's the thing. The Israelites saw mustard seed as a weed that grew uncontrollable, right? They even said it was unclean. But here Jesus says, be like a mustard seed. Like grow, like that kind of growth. Here's what we know about mustard seed. It starts small but grows into a 20 and 30 foot large tree, providing shelter for the birds. God is calling your life to start blooming. God's calling your life to start growing. Stop being this little bush and to start to grow so you touch other people's lives and you make an impact while you're here. And listen, if you're breathing, you have a purpose. If you're breathing, God has called you to start planting seed everywhere you go. If you're not breathing, then I'm sorry. But I think everybody's breathing in here. So that means you have a purpose. If God hasn't taken you home yet, you have a purpose. You got to get busy. You got to start planting those seeds because remember last week we learned where God comes along and says, listen, what have you done with what I gave you? So I think we better start asking that question. God, even if it's small, what do you want me to give? And here's the thing. God often starts small. The gospel began with Jesus and a few disciples, but it spread across the world. Growth is a process. A mustard seed doesn't become a tree overnight. Likewise, God's work in our lives and our communities, it takes time. And here's why I love that God takes his time, because he does it best. How many of you know the more time you take on something, probably the better it's going to be, unless you're a procrastinator. The kingdom also provides shelter and life. As you plant a seed and it grows into a tree, you're planting a shelter and life for the people who are in your life. You can make an incredible difference. And some of us, we got to stop running after that shelter and start becoming the shelter. The kingdom provides shelter just as birds find rest in a tree. People find hope, love, and purpose in God's kingdom. You might go, well, what's God's kingdom? The kingdom of God is a set of principles and ideas that we all live by. The Bible says that we're here, but we're foreigners, that we're not of this world. We live by the kingdom of God. So you have to make a decision on whose kingdom you're going to live in. The kingdom of the world brings subtraction, division, challenges to our lives, where the kingdom of God brings multiplication. So what kingdom are you going to live in? Here's something interesting to think about too, and I've said this before. The mustard seed, it can't grow into a tree. It's considered a plant. but it can't grow into a tree. What could Jesus be meaning on that? And here's what I think it is. Jesus can take anything we give him and turn it into something that makes an incredible impact for the kingdom. Because it's not about you. It's about what he does through you. It may look different than you think, but God grows the seed according to his plan and purpose. Get ready. Here's point number two. Obedience is the fertilizer to the seed. Obedience is the fertilizer to the seed. God is looking for your yes. If you'll say yes, God takes it and he multiplies everything you do. He's looking for, and sometimes those yeses are hard. Sometimes those are hard yeses. But I want to tell you, obedience is the thing that God uses. And here's what I love about this. A mustard seed grows very easy and thrives in many locations. That's the thing. You plant a seed like that, that's what God's going to do with your life. You're going to grow. You're going to thrive. Think about this for just a moment. When God places a seed in your heart, if you say yes, get ready. That seed will grow easily and will thrive in all kinds of different conditions. Your yes is the fertilizer for God to take the small things and multiply them. Your yes may seem small, but with God, it's mighty. Obedience is the key to unlocking God's promises in your life. If you have promises, you're saying, God, you promised me this. My question back to you is, are you being obedient? Obedience will literally unlock God's promises. Here's the equation. Your obedience times God's blessing equals multiplication. I don't know about you, but I want to make a kingdom impact with my life. I want to live a life according to God's plan and purpose to make an incredible difference. Obedience is the key to unlocking those things in our lives. Our obedience and our openness becomes the fertilizer to grow those mustard seeds that God places in your heart. Some of you might go, I don't know what kind of seeds. Look at what kind of seeds you've been planting in your life. And it might be a time to change the seed and say, Jesus, what kind of seeds? Because we can plant seeds that are benefits ourselves. We can plant. I mean, you have to say, God, what kind of seeds do you want me to be planting? Make that your prayer this week. God, what do I need to plant? Our obedience becomes that fertilizer. Here's another interesting fact about mustard trees or plants. They're annual plants. So each year they would die off and have to grow up all over again. It's not a plant which endlessly endures like the mighty cedar. They need to constantly regrow. This idea of an annual tree and our faith are one and the same. It requires constant regrowth. Both are unable to just sit back and relax while waiting for the next season. Some of you are sitting back and relaxing and you wonder why you're stuck. And I want to tell you something about the kingdom of God. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. There's no neutral. There's no neutral. The mustard tree must grow and drop fresh seeds, which will grow the next year. If it doesn't grow, there are no seeds for the next season, and eventually there are no more trees in the area. So what does it mean? Our faith must be constantly built up through prayer, scripture, relationship with God, and going outside of our homes and doing either the Great Commission or the discipling of believers. Who are you telling about Jesus? Who are you sharing your story about? Our faith must be constantly refreshed, or one day we'll find the garden of our hearts has become barren because we've neglected our faith and relationship with God by relying on the cold, hard stones of our natural ways. You have to resist the temptation to become complacent. And here's what we say at Hope City. If you've been saved for seven, eight years, chances are you might have stopped growing. How do you keep growing? One simple question: God, what's my next step? And that next step becomes the seed that you put in the ground. What you realize is that your faith is like a mustard seed and not a great cedar. And then you begin to realize that what you did 3 years ago won't benefit you today. That was an old season. Now you're in a new one. Whatever situation you're in, you cannot draw water from a well once and expect a bucket to sustain you for months on end. Point number three. Woo! Don't despise small beginnings. Zechariah 4:10 says this, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So hold on just a minute. I want to read it again because I want you to get this. Don't despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Don't miss this. He's looking for you to step out, and he starts rejoicing because the work has begun. He doesn't sit there and go, well, that's pretty small. We'll see what happens. We'll see what kind of grows into. He's not that. No, he goes, thank you, Jesus, that somebody's planting the seed and they're going for it. He's cheering you on when you say yes. He loves that. He rejoices to see the work begin. How you handle small beginnings will determine what God is able to give and trust you with. Guys, this is a principle in life. This is the principle in life. Okay? You start out small, and God trusts you with more, and then he trusts you with more, and then he trusts you with more. You know what? That's the truth in your job. That's the truth in your life. That's the truth in your finances. Some people go, well, I'll just start giving when I have more money. No, you won't, because it becomes harder. So start giving now. Start giving now. Start serving. Well, I'll serve when I have more time. You're never going to have more time because the enemy doesn't want you serving. Well, I'll go to a life group, man, when my schedule clears up. How about you put the Netflix away, clear your schedule up, and be in a life group? Hey. Many times, we have to make the first step, and then God meets us and multiplies our efforts. You have to take the first step. If you want God to multiply what you give him, be faithful and steward well the small things, and he'll give you more. Luke 16:10, if you are faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you will not be honest with greater responsibility. That's everything in life, including your finances. Well, I don't like that. Too bad. That's what the Bible says. Well, that makes me mad. Okay, we'll get over it. Because that's the answer. And if you're mad about it, the enemy's keeping you from this multiplication that God wants to do in your life. Point number four, trust the process. Growth and multiplication are a process in our lives. You must trust the process and the God behind the process. This is not going to happen overnight. See, in our society, we want stuff overnight. We want stuff right away. We're not willing to trust the process. And God says, listen, if you don't go through the process, you're not going to be ready for the next. It's a process. No plant ever just pops up. It's a process. God takes you. You couldn't handle it if you just blew up in 1 minute. He loves you too much. God is also not going to let you skip any steps. Well, I don't like that. Well, too bad. That's how God does it. He does not let you skip the steps that will prepare you for what's coming next. Every step that you take is necessary to sustain what God wants to do in your life. And the minute you try to skip the step is the minute you stop growing. A big part of trusting God, and listen, our physical growth shows that. No baby is ever ready to run a marathon. It starts with baby steps, and they get more secure, and they get more, then they start rocking, and then they start running. I mean, that's the way physical growth happens. It's also the way spiritual growth happens. You want to be a spiritual giant? It's one step at a time. A big part of trusting the process is trusting God's timing. I want to challenge you. If you don't have a desire to make a difference with your life, you need to stop and ask God why. Healthy, growing Christians should have a desire to make a difference in the world around them. See, in America, though, we bought into this consumeristic idea of coming to church. What do I get out of it? Well, I'll go if I can fit it into my schedule. We've got to change that question. It is not what you can get out of it. It's what you can give. Well, people aren't going to miss me if I'm not there. Yes, they are, because our job is to not only get, but it's to give. What are you giving out? Well, I don't like that church, so I'm going to the church down the road that has the best meal deal for the week. It's not about you. It's about what you can give to the kingdom. It's about what God poured in you. And I promise you, you are going to find your fulfillment when you start giving out. You're going to find your fulfillment when you start planting that seed. You have to flip this around and say, it's not about me, but what can I give? What can I do to make a difference in somebody else's life? We have to break out of that consumeristic mentality when it comes to God and church. It is not about us. It's about what we can give. The Christian life is not about what you can take. It's about what you can give. Could you imagine if Jesus was into this consumeristic idea? Well, I'm not getting on the cross. I'm here to get, not to give. Where would we all be? Where would we be, friends? Let's start planting the seed to say, God, listen, it's not about me. It's about what I can give. When you look at it from this perspective, your ground is ready for the seeds that God wants to drop in your life, and you are going to find incredible fulfillment. Multiplication. So what are our call to actions from this message? First of all, let's start planting some good seeds. Everywhere we go, Lord, show me if it's not a good seed. Lord, I want to plant the seeds that you have. And listen, he is the one that gives the seed. Even in your finances, got to remember, he's the one that gives the seed. Obedience. So your yes starts the process. And then you have to trust the process. Even if you don't see immediate results, keep trusting God's plan. Listen, you're in there, you're planting. I think the biggest challenges from the time we go to planting to the harvest season, we got to keep in there and we got to hang on. God is going to bring some harvest in your life that you've been praying for as you plant seeds. Don't be mad at God too when you're facing the consequences of the seeds you planted in the last season.
Wow.
Don't be mad. Well, God, I don't know why this is happening. God's saying, because that's what you planted in the last season, and what you sow, you reap.
Come on.
I sit and ask myself that question all the time. What kind of seed am I planting? Lord, I want to plant good seed. I want to plant the good seed. You wonder why life is not working? Some people, life just doesn't seem to be working. What kind of seeds were you planting in the last season? And guys, this is not meant to beat you up, but it's to start saying, hey, start planting the right kind of seeds because you're planning for the next season of your life right now. Right? So God, what kind of seeds do you want me to plant? How do you want me to plant them? This idea of sowing and reaping is throughout Scripture. And just remember, you plant that little seed, you put it in the heart of the soil of a heart that's open, and he will multiply it.
Right.
In your families, in our church, in this world. And guess what? The enemy cannot stop multiplication.
That's good.
He might try, but he can't stop it. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Guys, the first step is this. The first step is surrendering and stop trying to do it on your own. The Bible calls that salvation, where we make a declaration. God, I need a Savior. I can't do this on my own. I'm lost. We try to do it on our own because we think we're the gods of our own universe and that we can control things, but we realize real quickly we don't have control over anything. It's that moment where you surrender. You say, Jesus, I need you. I need you to be my Savior. I'm lost. I'm broken. I need you. The Bible says to do that, we believe in our hearts and we confess in our mouth. And listen, friends, it's not enough just to show up at a church and fill up a chair or a pew, but it's that moment where you make the choice to say, Jesus, my life is yours. And he comes in and he completely changes you around. If that's you today, you'd say, Pastor, I need to give my life to the Lord. I need to rededicate my life. If that's you, would you slip up a hand right now? Just, hey, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands are going up across this place. And I want to tell you something, church. We always celebrate. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices when just one person makes that decision to turn their lives over. It's the most important thing that you can do. Anyone else? Thank you. Come on.